Chav Dalet Tevis, the Baal Tanya's Yortzeit. Yesterday we said a chiddush on the Baal Tanya, the Gabi Zimun by women. I wanted to point out, it's very interesting, machlokes in the Baal Tanya and the Aruch HaShulchan, whether the minhag still applies today or not. Anyway, with Chav Dalet Tevis, we're holding in Zimun Mem Vav, Halacha Dalet, we're going to Halacha Tezayin. So the kids points out something that's really not so Baruch Hashem a concern today. Sometimes they used to find blood in milk. The blood would come out from the udder of the animal. So the kitzur points out, and if you look in the glossary, actually, in the article that they printed from the earlier printings of the kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he quotes different sources to look if you have a shayla. When it comes to basa v'chalav, it's also b'achila b'shalana, right? That's why it says three times, you're not allowed to have meat and milk, you're not allowed to cook it, and you're not allowed to enjoy it either. So for example, if it was cooked, let's say meat and milk, so it's also b'dorais, it's also b'anoah. So you're not allowed to have any enjoyment. You can't have any enjoyment. You can't even give it to your dog or any other dog either. You can't have any enjoyment. So you have to throw it away. It's called, like the Gemara Tmura says, that it's one of them nikbarim. That means it has to be buried. You can't have any enjoyment from it. Now, if it's done with chicken, it's drabban, and then it's mutar ba'anoah, which the kitzur doesn't go into. And the kitzur already points out that there's a lot of shaylas that come up. It's kedai always to ask a shayla by a rav. Don't assume it's aser, because a lot of basa v'chav shaylas, the chadchil, of course, are problematic, but the other okay. Two Jews that are sitting together, they know each other. Even if they're machped on each other, they wouldn't share their food or anything like that, or maybe they're upsetting with each other even. Halacha is, they can't eat at the table, one's eating meat and one is eating milk, without what's called a hecker, or something that reminds the two that they should not share food together. So one of the eitzes is to have a separate, what's called mappas. Each one should eat on his own tablecloth, and it was his own mat. Or they place on the table something that usually is not on the table. Now they have to be careful not to share from the utensil, because any utensil, truthfully, you have to be careful if it's one utensil that's shared because of the hands that are touching the utensil. Now it's true that today there's much more room to be lenient anyway, because most of our food we're not eating with our hands. But nevertheless, halacha of heker does apply. The question is, that the price committee point out, is what is considered a heker? Has to be that it's not just flat on the table, even though it's interesting by a mat, that's fine, because a mat is a different type of form of a hecker. But it has to be, and I saw some of the poskim say that it should be higher than the plate itself that you're eating. This is a very interesting halachas we're going to discuss also when it comes to a woman that's anida, which we'll get to, that this is very similar, and it seems to be somewhat of a discrepancy between the two. Some are more meko, some are machmer, but we'll get to it, Bezat Hashem. The next halacha is that one should also certainly be careful not to eat from the same bread. If someone is eating milk and meat, obviously the bread should not be used. And in fact, on Shabbos, you should be careful. I mean, the chetchila today, like I said, there's another reason to be more lenient, is that usually if they cut up the challah and they have like a challah tray, and no one's really touching the challah, even if they're taking challah, they're not touching other challahs with their dirty hands, so usually that should be okay. But it's kedai to always be extra careful, especially with the challah that ended up on the table. So that will more machmir to keep and mark it that it's with meat, with milk, milchiks, etc. But yeah, if someone toasted challah and stuff like that, usually that would be okay. Also, the kit points out that you should have separate salt shakers. Now, in the old days, they really were dipping into the salt shakers. Most people, I don't think, have these dip. They have more salt. They have these regular salt shakers. And nevertheless, the minig is, I saw the article on the Chayim say, still a nice minig to have separate salt shakers. Could be because your hands sometimes are dirty. So it's definitely kedai to do so. There's a minig to mark the knives, the milchik knives. It's interesting. And all the utensils, the milchik utensils. I think today, if you go into the kashrus world, you basically became accepted that red is for fleishiks and blue is for milchiks. But the idea is to make sure that there's enough of a recognition, especially I get shaylas probably at least once a week, of the cleaning lady that messed up. So you can't rely anymore, I think. I mean, halachically, it's okay. You have a marking, the shape, the design on the milchiks, let's say, is a certain design. But it's hard for cleaning ladies to really be aware of that. So they have to really be trained properly to make sure that there's no mistake. If there is a shayla, many times, like I said, it could be okay, b'dieved, but so many times people find their fleishik or milchiks in the opposite dishwashers. If a person ate meat, so here we go to the famous Mishnah Gemara. How many hours do you wait after eating meat? So the kitzur says like this: if you ate meat, even if you just ate a tavshil shabasa, what's a tavshil shabasa? something that was cooked with meat, let's say potatoes, or cooked with meat. So even though there's no real meat on the potatoes, it's considered a fleshik potatoes. You're not allowed to have milk afterwards, and the minig actually is not to have also tavshil shel milk, means something that was cooked with milk. Now, Kiragin points it out, and that's what the minig is, but Mikar didn't should know that that tavshil shel milk really should be okay, but kedai lechatchila to be machmir. Question is how many hours? Kitzur says 6 hours. It's actually what the Mechabel says. The Ramah famously says 1 hour, but then says it's best to do 6 hours. My minhag personally actually is 3 hours. As Rabbeinu Yerucham says 3 hours. Some have until the 6 hour. The Kitzur says that a person who's chewing for a baby has to wait also these amount of hours, because really there's two reasons for why we wait, either because of the fat that's lingering in the mouth or because of the meat that's stuck between the teeth. Now, if a person found meat between teeth, he just has to remove it. He doesn't have to add another 6 hours afterwards. There's a major machlekas. How many hours, meaning the 6 hours, did they start after you finished eating meat? Or you have to bench first. So, Hashulchan Aruch is machmir to wait to bench first. Other chenim umomeko. And when a person is changing from meat to milk, so there's a very important, probably the most important part, is actually what's called kinuach and adacha. Where you eat something, like a little bit of bread or cookies or something like that, and you rinse your mouth with water, and you also have to make sure that your hands are washed, because your hands could have meat. Now, I saw the person say that today was Manazeh, you could use a toothbrush and a toothpaste, and certainly that does a very good job of kinuach and hadacha. Now, if the tavshil did not have any meat or fat of meat, meaning let's use a potatoes. Potatoes was cooked in, let's say, a fleishik pot. So the halacha is that the potatoes become fleishik if that pot was used within 24 hours. And so the kitzur says like this: if there was no meat or fat of meat and it was cooked in a fleishik pot, so even though it wasn't rinsed well, you're allowed to eat afterwards milk. Afterwards. Usually it's about the bashish, and that's not really a problem. Now, if you didn't use that pot, the most common shayla, you have potatoes that were cooked in a fleshic pot, and the fleshic pot wasn't used within 24 hours, then technically you could eat the potatoes with milk, with cheese, whatever you want. Some machmir, that is a vil nagon and a Sternbach, once or years ago, but that's the halacha. When a person eats cheese, you're allowed to eat meat right afterwards, but the kitzur says in a different meal. Interesting that the Mishnah Berurah argues, and actually that was the old minig, on Shavuos to have milchiks and then fleishiks. Just you have to make sure that you clean your hands, and yeah, that means washing your hands, or at least making sure that they're clean, also to really take care of your teeth, kinuach adacha. And that's the old custom. Now, really, the custom, I would say the new custom, well, somewhat, it's already quoted in the price scheme that minig is, and space in the zar, either to wait an hour between milchiks and fleishiks, or to wait a half an hour. And that's, I think, the prevalent minhag, but really, Mekah, then you're allowed to have fleishiks right afterwards. The only exception, of course, is what he discusses now, which is hard cheese. Hard cheese, gvina kasha, what is hard cheese? Basically, it's used to use rennet as an enzyme, and they would take part of the stomach of the animal, put it into milk, it would coagulate it, and it would make it much more, the taste would be much more stronger, and it would stay and linger. So that's the reason why, when it comes to hard cheese, we have to treat it, and we have to wait 6 hours after hard cheese before you have fleishiks. Now, the other example, the kids says is metula. It's very interesting. They used to have wormy cheese, and we'll discuss later on exactly how you're eating worms. We don't have this, and as the Ben Shchaibin points out, which is interesting, and even back that they didn't have this. But the point is, if you want to have meat after hard cheese, you have to wait 6 hours. Now, if you don't wait 6 hours, you wait whatever you wait for fleishiks and milchiks, 3 hours, 1 hour. Not only that, today there's room to be much more meko. You have to ask your rav, but many of the hard cheeses are not really hard cheeses. There's a big machlai, maybe I saw the gabi pizza, I think over the yashar, the chalavach was machmen, the gabi hard pizza. But many are lenient because it's melted. And therefore, if anyone really wants to rely on something, certainly you can rely on an hour, but ask your rabbi. Next, if someone ate cheese and he wants to eat meat, so there's another very important halacha, which is a practical halacha, to take away the bread that you ate with the cheese. Similarly, you also should not have the same tablecloth. And that's a proper minhag to change the tablecloth. And then the kid also points out cutting, using knives and meat, meaning using the same knife to cut bread they use for meat, and vice versa when it comes to cheese. All these things you have to be careful, and that's why, as Manazeh says, definitely important to have separate knives. Now the halacha, if you're stuck with one knife, so there's what's called, if you recall the Gemara Masechta Zohar, what's called the Itza B'Karka. They used to like pierce, grandmothers used to do this, used to pierce the knife in the ground. People thought it's like some Kabbalistic or mystical thing. It's not mystical, it's really the equivalent of using Brillo and properly really scrubbing this knife down. The old days, that was the best because there was surface of the earth would clean it very well. So it's not a magical thing, it's a practical thing. If someone cut a knife with, so if a person chatal b'sakin shabasa b'tzal means he used a fleshik knife and he cut onion, so this is also a very famous sugya of chorev. Dov chorev is sharp. Sharp things make a lot of trouble. Now there's a major dispute, what's considered sharp? Some only machmele, what's called the chilti is a very famous type of sharp vegetable. And anything is a not, some of machman, all types of it. If you look at the poskim and the piskachus brings many, a whole list. So it's good to ask a shayla because you could go from one side to the other. Some are very machman, some are extremely mekel, but the evid, any type of shayla chof is okay. Please ask a shayla, as the kitzur says. If someone is making a type of tavshul mibasal, b'chalav shkedim, I mean, you're making a fleshik type of meal, but you're using what's called almond milk. Very common today, almond milk, so many different types. So what do you have? Oat milk, all these different types of milks that are not milk. So halacha is, and especially in the old days, you have to place almonds right there on the table with that milk, so people know that it's not regular milk, because otherwise there's a shayla marisai. However, there is more room to be make of asman. As the place can say, because today, a lot of these types of things, that are creamers, everyone knows that there's non-dairy creamers. But the chatchil, it's good too, because today you could have quite a mix-up, and I've seen mix-ups. Okay, next. The halacha is, the kitzur says, I'm sure you've heard this minig, not to kasher utensils of fleshiks or milchiks, meaning to switch them from milchiks to fleshiks. The only time we do it is Erev Pesach. This is from the Magen Avraham. And the only reason why this is, what's the reason? It's not a magical reason. It's not even like Zer in the Gemara. It's really because of the concern of confusion. Now, therefore, the Maharsham already said b'shas atchak, one could be mekel, and therefore you can certainly ask a shayla when you need to kasher or change from fleshik to milchik, especially if it got trafed up, then you could also. And lastly, for today, also a very common shayla: what about someone that's delivering wine or meat or fish, and there's no siman on the fish, wine, or meat, and they're giving it to Nandra to deliver? And certainly, if it's a suspicious Jew, that means he's not keeping termites, he's not eating kosher, you need two seals. And those two seals really need to show that if one of the seals, each one of those seals is broken, you would know about it. Now, what happens with the Eved, there's a good shilas, and there's room to be mekel, especially if you know and you could see, and especially if there's a regular type of seal that you could see that once it's opened up, there's no way that it can be reclosed. But these are very important shailas. The distinction is between things that are raisa versus things only the rabbanan, which the kitzur would list, like cooked wine, chaymid, vinegar, milk, all these types of things that are most likely only a question of the rabbanan, so then one could be lenient with only one seal. But chatchila is best to have two seals. Have a beautiful day.